Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the ninth day of Adar Aleph, Tovshin Pei Beis. Masechta Peor, Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Chamishis. Hamachlif is Im Ha'anim, one who makes a swap with the poor. So the landowner goes to the poor and he says, here, I'm giving you nice, beautiful produce for a swap for your produce, for the matonis, for your gifts that you're meant to be getting. Bishaloi, potter, says the Mishnah, what he gets back from the Anim is exempt from taking Maisa, because that's the halacha. Matnes Anim, gifts for the poor, are part of a Maisa, no matter whose hands they are. But they're back in the landowner's hands, doesn't matter. However, what he gives to the poor in exchange, Uvishal Anim, chayef, that he is chayef to take Maisa, he is chayef to take tithe before he gives it to the poor. Because that wasn't really matnas anim. He's giving it to them, but he's not giving it to them as matnas anim. It's just an exchange. Shanaim shekiblos asoda barisos. Two people, and they're both poor, but they took over a field under a sharecropping agreement. So the landowner is going to give them a certain portion of the field. Maybe he'll give them 50% of the produce if they work the field, or a quarter of the produce. These two poor people become now Balei Sodeh. They become called the landowners as well. And the halacha is that any landowner, even if he's poor, he's an oni, he's not allowed to take the gifts from his field. And this is because it says, Leket ketzircha loy salaket, do not take the gleanings of your harvest. Loy salaket le'oni v'lager tazav oisam, for the poor you should leave them. However, they made the drasha to draw the two words together. Lo salakeit le'oni. Even the oni is not allowed to take the gleanings in certain situations, namely when he is a balasoda, when it's his own field. And the same thing applies not just to lek, it applies to other gifts as well, that each one of them is considered a landowner, each of these people, these two poor people. However, they're only considered a balasoda, a landowner, over the field that they have the sharecropping agreement, but not on the part that their friend took over, that his friend took over. So if the two of them took over, one took the north side, one took the south side under this sharecropping agreement, so the fellow, the poor man who took the sharecropping agreement on the north is allowed to take the gifts from the south and vice versa. In fact, the Mishnah goes on to say, Zenoisen lozech el koimas oni. One fellow, Reuven, can give to Shimon his portion of the Maaser Oni, because Shimon doesn't have ownership or even a sharecropping agreement on Reuven's portion. And in the meantime, Shimon can give Reuven his portion for Maaser Oni, because they're only forbidden from taking the Leket Shikon Peah, the gifts of the poor, from their own field, but not from their friend's field. No problem. Amakabel soda liktzair, if a person takes over a field to harvest it, not to work it, just to harvest it, with the condition, with the arrangement, a contract, that they will receive a percentage of the harvest. Also beleket shikro peyamasani. They're not allowed to take any of these gifts for the poor. Again, because the Pasuk says, veleket kitzircha, anything that your harvest, that you're harvesting, you cannot take the gleanings of. This is called your harvest. Even though you may be a poor man, doesn't matter. The fact is that he is now called his harvest. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Emosai, when is it forbidden for him to take the gifts from this field, there the Matnas Anim? Bizman shekibel mimenu lemechza lishlish v'liria. That's when he took over the field under the contract to get a half or a third or a quarter as he's harvesting. You get a half or a quarter of the produce, of the crops. Which means that the poor person who's taken over this contract has already got ownership of the grain while it's growing. Because that's what the landowner said. He said that you keep a third of this harvest or a quarter of this harvest if you do this harvesting job. Avalim amaloi, but if he says to him, if the landowner, the balabai, says to the person who's doing the harvesting, Shalish mashata koitzer shalach, a third of what you will harvest after the harvest will be yours, which means that he's never taken ownership of the field or of the growing crop. That means he never had any ownership of the grown crop. Muta b'leket shikha v'peah. He's allowed to keep all the gifts of the name for himself. Why? Because these gifts of leket shikompeya only apply, they start to take effect from the moment of harvesting. At the moment of harvesting, it's the produce is not yet his. It still belongs to the owner of the field. And therefore, he's allowed to keep the gifts of the poor in these three areas, leket, shikompeya, all of which are done at the time of ketzira, the time of harvesting is the applicable time. However, v'osur b'masa oni, he's not allowed to take any masa oni because the tithe for the poor in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah, because that matnas onim, that gift for the poor, is only applicable betolish, is only done after it's been pulled from the ground. After the ketzira and after the harvest, this man, it's his. He takes ownership of it. And even though he's poor, he's not allowed to take masa oni for himself, as we said before, because it's his ketzira, it's his harvest. Mishnah Vav. Hamoicher sodeya, a person who sells his field with the standing grain. Hamoicher muta. Now, the seller is allowed to take any of the leket shikompeya of this field if he's poor, if he's a poor man entitled to, because he's no longer called the balasada, he's no longer a field owner. But the buyer cannot. Even if the buyer happened to be poor, he's not allowed, and he hasn't yet paid for the field, or he's borrowed money to pay for the field. Doesn't matter. Once he's a buyer, once he's owned this field, he cannot take the gifts of the poor from this field because he's now called the balasada. He's called the owner of the field. The Shalmi explains that we're talking here about a case where he sold both field, the actual land, and the crops, the crops that were growing. If he only sold the crops that were growing, but kept for himself the land, then also neither the seller nor the buyer are allowed to take any of the gifts for the poor from this field. As far as the seller's concerned, we say it's his field still. It's a sotcha, it's your field. As far as the buyer's concerned, we say it's your harvest, because he's bought the crops. And in both cases, even a poor person cannot keep the matnas anim for themselves, the gifts of the poor. By the field owner, it says, lo sechala pas sodcha, you shall not finish off the pay of your field. As far as the harvest is concerned, it says, leket ketzircha lo shlaket, what you harvest, you cannot keep the gleanings off. So each one has got some ownership, if you like, that prevents them keeping any of these gifts of the poor, like a chikapaya. Continues the Mishnah, lo yiskor adam es apoyalim, or the Shalmi has singular apoyal, a man's not allowed to hire a worker with the terms of employment, al menos she'lakid v'acharav, that his son is entitled to take the to collect any of the gleanings that the father leaves behind, or as the father is harvesting it. And the reason he can't do that is because it's abusing the matnas anim. It's like, because people would tend to pay the employee less because of that, by giving him that extra privilege that his son can follow him right through the harvesting. And that's really profiting on the back of the matnas anim. Furthermore, by letting this worker's son, come and collect after him, you're giving him priority. The landowner is giving him a priority over others, and that's not nice. He can't do that. Now, what about a man who doesn't allow the poor to collect the leket? He wants to collect it himself and distribute it for the name. Or he allows one poor person to collect the leket, the gleanings of the harvest, and another one, he doesn't let. Or he's helping one of them collect in the Lakita. So he's giving one poor person more privileges by helping him. This man is called a robber of the poor. The poor, the other people, that he's decreased their chances to get the Lakit. Concerning such a person, it says, Al Tase Gvul Oilim. Do not take over the boundary of the Oilim. Don't read it as it's actually written Oilam, not Oilim. And the Mishnah is telling us, don't read it as Oilam, but rather as Oilim. What does Oilim refer to? What does it mean? Don't take away don't encroach upon the territory of the Oilim. One explanation of the Oilim is it refers to those who came out of Egypt. And it's telling us that we're talking here about the warnings that were given to those who were Yotzei Mitzrayim, who came out of Egypt. Don't be masig. Don't abolish or do away with those warnings that were given to those who came out of Egypt, the Oilim. Others say that the word Oilim is a reference to the people who have become impoverished. We call a person who lost their properties, we say Yordu min Yichseim, they went down from their properties. So here, even though the word Oilim means rising or going up, it's a euphemism, it's Loshon Saginar. And what it's saying is, do not encroach upon the territory of those who really are poor. It uses the word Oilim, who are going up, only as a Loshon Saginar, as a euphemism.